And a very pleasant good Sunday evening, everyone, and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live. We're live from the auditorium of Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas. And the host for your program this evening is Mark Meek. Good evening, sir.
Hello, Jim.
How are you today?
I am fine. How about you?
Well, it's been a little warm.
A little warm?
A little warm. I've sweat more than I wanted to today, so.
Well, you must have been working.
No, I was just in unair-conditioned facilities, is all.
Yeah, well, that'll do it.
That'll do it.
Yeah. Well, how's your week been?
It's been busy.
Yeah.
It's been a 500 or 600 mile week as usual, so everything's good.
You know? Yeah.
You know, if I don't drive about 1,000 miles a week, then that's not very normal. But
yeah, well, I guess 500-mile week's abnormal.
Yeah, it's 375 if I go nowhere.
Yeah.
But the church and to home, you know.
So tell me, how many weeks are we into the...
We are on week number 34 of this calendar year.
The year is going by in a hurry.
Well, we long ago got past that 26-27 hump in the middle of the year. So, I mean...
Yeah. Goes downhill in a hurry.
It'll begin to look a lot like Christmas if we're not careful.
So. Yeah, that's right. Hey, we got guests in the studio. Isn't that, that's a big thrill.
Real live breathing humans.
Yes. We got James and Natalie Thomas with us.
And they've come back again after they've been here before.
They've been here a few times.
Yes,
yeah.
I know.
Last time, Natalie wouldn't come.
We'll make up for it tonight, I bet.
Yeah, we'll make up for it tonight.
Oh, I'm sure I got a lot to say.
Well, I know you do, and James does too. So I think we'll have a lively program tonight. It kind of depends on what we pick as a subject.
That's true.
We were having a pretty good conversation before this started, so we can jump off a lot of different directions. But I want to know right up front, how's the Two Turtle Doves going, and all your projects you're doing there? Give us a little update.
Well, it seems to be going pretty good. We got kicked off, back going after the last, when the pandemic, and we got back going again, and things were going good, meeting with people, and then we've kind of taken a little break over the summer. We're about to kick off again, and we're hoping to do a cookout. With all of our married people come in September and kick it off and get going again and just bring those couples together. I think they really enjoyed it and liked having that opportunity to come together and just see that they're not the only ones that are...
Been having problems?
Yeah. Yeah, basically. Okay, that's normal. Everybody acts like that.
So I had my 50th wedding anniversary last week. And... I go because I have problems. My wife has a big problem.
So, she might say it's you.
I think that's where I was going with that.
Oh, shoot.
So, yeah, it's for any age, or I enjoy it.
Yes, it's for any married couples or any couples that want to be married. Just come. Also, I've started having luncheons it's really seminars, and we provide lunch, but on Tuesdays at noon, and we pick a topic, and usually it's women, and we go over that and get a little bit of soul food and some good food, some physical food, but...
It's women, and I think their topic had 3-week session. It was how to keep your husband from spending all the money.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm glad my wife wasn't there.
Yeah, I know. I said both husbands not going to tell their wife about that.
So how do you do that? I mean, is it a control mechanism that you have? Or?
Well... You know,
don't tell us.
I can't give you our secrets.
Oh, there you go. Oh, man. Well, I got to thinking about this the other day, and I thought the name of that is Two Turtle Doves. And so that's you and James, right?
That's right.
That's right. I hadn't really connected the dots. So I never had to look at y'all quite that way before.
Well, you know, and the doves, they'll mate for life. You know, a dove will.
Yeah.
So once one gets shot during the season coming up,
yeah,
then the other one's just solo. But anyway.
You know what's amazing to me, celebrating the 50th wedding anniversary, is how many people came up, young people came up to me and said, thank you for setting a good example for us. Yeah. And I thought that was kind of interesting. And then we went back and looked at my graduating class, all eight of us. and there's three of us that are, one's already made it. And we made it, and then there's another couple that'll probably make it in a year or so. So three out of eight. And, you know, that's not very good odds, is it?
No.
Of course, there was a death in there, but the rest of them were kind of early marriages that ended and remarriage, and kind of they're not probably going to make it unless they live a long, long time.
Well, and that's just it, I think. And the younger the generations get, the less you see that, you know, that they stick together. Our society was, I think, pushed upon meism, I call it, you know. And then, of course, we know meism doesn't work in marriage.
Yeah.
If you're about me in marriage, you're going to be in the divorce line. So
yeah.
I think when we seen quite a bit, just me and her from doing this, that these younger people, they don't have a lot of that, because most of them come from broken homes, mm-hmm. you know. But and the majority to come from, well, Natalie was even from a, you know, wasn't, didn't have both her parents, but most of these kids today, young kids, they don't have just one set of parents. You know, they don't have just one mom, one dad, and two grandma and grandpas. They have multiple.
Yeah.
And for them to have that, to see that, I've seen that there's quite a few. They appreciate that. They look to people that are that example. And it gives them something. Okay, if they can do it, we can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of our ministry too. Is to, you know, is to try to be an example and let people know that look, this is not all fun and games, and it's not all it's work, but it can be done.
Yeah,
that's all right. And you know, for you guys to be married for 50 years, that's what a milestone that is. And mm-hmm. So I think you guys should be praised for that, because that is a good example. Because if you were to share about your marriage, you could probably share about many times that you didn't always get along, or you didn't always agree, and you had to work through that. And that's how you create the longevity in your marriage, is being willing to, no matter what, we're going to work through this, and we're going to make this work. We're going to figure this out. Because we're committed to this relationship,
mm-hmm.
and so thank you for that. You know, I say the same thing, to being a good example. I'm not saying that we're perfect, but saying that we just hung in there.
Hey, you know, we had lots of opportunities to split up. I mean, that's always there in the society that we live in. You know, that's always there. And we had those opportunities, but Annette there would turn loose. She wanted to kick me out pretty bad, but she wouldn't go ahead and do it.
Couch was enough.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed sometimes in marriage, I don't know, if maybe surely you guys have experienced it, but I find there's times that when James and I are going through something, one of us is willing to fight and the other one is kind of just hanging in the limb.
Yeah.
So one's fighting, but then there's another thing comes along and it flips. The other one is like, look, no, we're going to go through, we're going to see what we need to do to make this right. We're going to get back on track. And so,
it's kind of like God and Moses.
Yeah.
One time God was wanting to kick us out and the other, or Israel out. And the other time it was Moses, and they talked each other out of it both times. That's sort of the way the marriage works.
That's right. And so it's not always easy. You just have to say, I'm going to work at it and
yeah.
make that commitment to stay with it. And
you know, I think too, there's things that can happen in a marriage that create a crisis that is much deeper. And I think unfaithfulness in a marriage, I think that would be a difficult thing to live through and get to the other side of. And I thought about that, and I thought, I don't know if I'd have enough staying power to get through something like that. I mean, we went through a lot of things, but we've never had to do that one, and thank God for it.
Well, and that's the thing is, there's on the flip side of that is, you know, being committed to your marriage. But sometimes, unfortunately, there are times that it's hard, and it's okay. Divorce is inevitable, and that's sad, but that also goes along with that commitment. If you're committed to that marriage, then you know you may not be getting along, but maybe the unfaithfulness may not be something that comes in. Mm-hmm. and so that goes along with the commitment, but that you brought that up, that unfortunately there are times that divorce is just going to happen. I mean, yeah. It's really hard to get over some things,
you know. I've kind of noticed. And I think it's TV and how they just throw sex at these young people. And I think they go into marriage with an expectation. And I don't know how long that lasts, but I know one thing that'll sure jerk the slack out of you is when your first kid's born. And all of a sudden, your wife has somebody else that she's got to take care of and loves more than she probably loves you, if you really want to know the truth about that. Mm-hmm. So that'll kind of, right there is a real crisis point for a lot of men. Yeah. And women too, because, you know, men just aren't used to giving the support that they need to give to their wife and a baby. Yeah. So there's just a lot of stress involved.
That's right. In every stage of life.
Yeah.
First married, having kids, kids moving out, and then you have the empty nest. Mm-hmm. Yes, teenagers. then you have the grandkids stage. Kids get married, and then you have the grandkids stage. So there's just different seasons of marriage that can bring mm-hmm. in a crisis and an opportunity where you have to choose, you know.
Yeah.
In that, and how you're going to deal with that as a married couple.
Yeah. You know, we're in one of those deals right now. We've got our oldest grandson is playing football. Our oldest granddaughter is playing baseball. Our next granddaughter is playing baseball, and she's in band. And then our two little boys are playing football. So, you know, we're kind of having this little static over who do we go watch? Where are we going? And you'd be surprised how that's right now. I mean, for us. And so how do you shuffle this all around? How do you, you know, and the grandkids all want you there. They're excited when you show up.
Well, and the kids, the parents of the grandkids, they want you to come see their kids too as well. And so that can sometimes cause some tension there too, I would imagine.
Yeah.
If you go see one versus the other.
Yeah.
So
it does.
Yeah.
So every stage, just like you're saying, creates its own little problems.
That's right.
Yeah, I don't think we ever come to in life to a point where we just going downhill, we kick it neutral and just roll, just coast. I think we have to keep pedaling or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
We never, there's always something that's going to be, the devil's not going to quit, I guess, is what it is. The devil's constantly going to be after you, and you're going to have to keep fighting until you're through fighting.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's it. There's no, you know, season that you get to just relax and rest, because there's always going to be something trying to come up, split you up.
Yeah.
Because when you think about it, the family unit, a strong family unit, that's what causes people to thrive, especially if it's a family unit that's a Christian family, a Christian-based family unit. you can't help but thrive because God's in it, and you're a family unit, and you're together, and you're sticking together, and you're working through, and you're not allowing the outside things to come in and destroy. And I think that's what the enemy tries to do, is if he can somehow make his way in there, then he can cause havoc, not just in the parent's life, but the kid's life. And it's just that's why it's so strongly, where we are so strongly into this ministry, is I think that's the foundation of it all. Mm-hmm. I really do. And it affects, it's a ripple effect, domino effect, mm-hmm. of everybody around.
Yeah, if you don't have peace at home, it's not going to be very peaceful anywhere else. So things just aren't going to go well.
That's right. So you do have to be on guard for those opportunities that can bring up a chance to argue, or a chance to split, or a chance to bring in havoc in the home, and stand against those times.
So I'll just throw this one out there, and y'all can do with this what you want. But, you know, probably our biggest point of contention in our marriage right now is my hearing. And
I laugh. I'll let you finish, and then I'll tell you why I'm laughing.
maybe I've gone far enough. You can just say what you want. But it really is, because I got these hearing aids, and I've had a lot of problems getting adjusted to them. And when I went to the hearing doctor, he told me. He said he ran this test, and I can hear James just fine, but I don't hear Natalie. I don't hear the feminine tone of voice. And so I can hear men, I can hear machinery, I can hear all this stuff, but I walk in the house and guess what? I don't hear Annette. And you know,
that'd be a good selling point for some earplugs right there. They may, men may buy those.
Hey, no.
but you know, it's something that I've tried to alleviate, and I'm having a hard time getting it alleviated. And I come in dirty, and I forget I have those things in. I hop in the shower, and then I roast them. And then I have to send them off, and all this stuff. And it's just kind of difficult getting adjusted to doing that. And at the same time, it doesn't seem like that Annette has a lot of patience with me, because I start saying, "What'd you say?" And she, you know, she's going, "I'm not going to say it. I've already said it, and I'm not going to say it again." So, you know, you think, well, what's the deal? It's something like that is going to cause problems, and you know, those are just things you've got to work through.
Yes, and I'll tell you why I laugh, because I struggle with the same thing. I have one ear that I don't hear out of due to a ear infection at an early age, and that's how it is in our house with James trying to...
It has been.
Yes.
Always has been.
It's always been an area for us, but now we've gotten into this where he'll say something and I won't hear it, and then I'll say, "What did you say?" Well, then he'll yell it. And then I'm like, "Well, why are you yelling at me?"
That's exactly where we're at. Right, and the opposite.
And I said, "Why are you?" Well, it'll be like, "Why are you angry? Why are you yelling?" "I'm not angry. You can't hear me, so that's why I'm yelling." "Well, you yelled it loud like you were angry."
This has been going on for 30 years.
So I don't know if I can offer any hope or any help in that area, because we're working through the same thing. And still, I still laugh, because he'll be in the kitchen and he'll say something and I'll be in the bedroom. And I'm like, he has to know that all I hear is wah, wah, wah. And so I'm like, should I go in there and say, "Huh?" Or should I just stay in here? I'm like, okay, yeah, right, whatever it is that you said. But then later he's like, "Well, I told you." And I'm like, "Oh, gosh, I don't remember you ever telling me that." So, yeah, it's definitely an area of tension.
So it sounds like two turtle doves needs to address this, because right here, yourself and, and our marriage both are.
Yeah, we're just living proof. See that there's always something going on, and you have to work through something all the time. So
it's
we joke about it a lot. You know, we used to get frustrated a bunch, but it's now we joke.
We're still
kind
of in the frustration.
Yeah, it'll get to where you just kind of joke about it and stuff. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah, now.
You almost have to. You know what I mean? Sometimes you just have to laugh at stuff, or the devil will get you down with it, you know.
I can't remember something this week that, I could have got really mad, but I thought I was just going to tease you about it and laugh. But I could have just been like, all right, buddy, I'm done with this. But I decided I was going to just laugh and make a joke out of it and go on, and it ended up being a good afternoon after I did that.
Yeah.
But. And the thing of it is he gets aggravated and he's like, you're not listening to me. Oh, and I'll be like, well, look at me when you're talking. Well, why do I have to look at you when I'm talking?
Oh, that's another thing. That's a woman thing. They want you to look at them.
Yeah. But if he's looking at me and I can see his lips, then I can, if I can't hear, I can at least figure out what he's saying, you know?
Yeah.
So. I don't know. Maybe we need some prayer, too, because we got the hearing thing going on,
too. I wonder how many people we know have that thing going on. I'll bet
a lot
of them.
And then you get accused of ignoring them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I want to know, how do you forget you have hearing aids in? I went and got hearing aids, and those things, I could never get those things comfortable in my ears. So
I don't wear them anymore. I have them, and I'll come in, I'll be out all day and be dirty and sweaty and come in and hop in the shower and all of a sudden something goes, sounds like lightning going off. And I know then that I have them in. But it may just be the kind you got.
Yeah, maybe.
So, anyway, I can send you to a guy, I don't know.
Yeah, it's tucked away in a drawer right now. It's been there for a couple of years.
Yeah.
10.
Yeah. See, right now I just have one in. We got this one in, and this one I had to send it back, and it went up and picked it up, and he goes, well, where's his cell phone? And she said, well, I was in Pampa when you called, and he was working down at Briscoe, and he goes, well, I need your cell phone because I've got to turn it on. I've tried to turn it on and I can't get it turned on. So I've got one that's not working, so I just don't wear it. But it works better with two than one.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that's just a case in point of what we're making. There's all kinds of things in our marriages that we have to overcome. There's financial things, which that's probably a really biggie. You probably have to deal with that more than what I know, but I'm not talking about between you and James, but when you counsel people.
And that's still the number one leading for divorce is finances over infidelity.
Is it really?
Yeah, according to the statistics, you know. I don't know where they get all these statistics all the time, these polls, because I've never been polled for anything they've ever asked, so I don't know who they're asking. But anyway, going off of the polls, that's still the number one reason for divorce.
Yeah.
And I would think they could get that from divorce lawyers.
Yeah.
But that's still like their number one, you know, problem or whatever that people have that's worth ending their marriage over is for the finances. So.
And I think that goes back to what you were saying earlier about the me-ism. You know, I want to spend the money this way and that other one wants to spend the money that way, and they can't come together and make an agreement, or one won't stop spending the money, and the other one doesn't like it, and then there is no money. But then there's times where, especially what we've been going through for the last year and a half, is employment being down. There, it's like it's something that you both have to depend on God to get in order to get through, because it is out of your hands. It's different when it's something you're doing to cause the problem, but when you're in a situation where you're just trying to figure it out how to get through it, it brings a different kind of stress into the situation.
So Has there been problems created by people being at home instead of at work? Have you run into any of that kind of thing?
Actually,
or just around too much, or has that actually been good for marriage?
Well, actually, what I have been finding out, a lot of these people that have been at home and finding ways to find work around the house, because most husbands, you know, would work away from home, that them being home with the family has actually turned into a blessing, and that's something that they want to keep doing. I have enjoyed James being home, but I will be honest, when he first came home, I was used to my schedule. When he was gone for 2 weeks and home for 2 weeks, that 2 weeks that he was gone, that was mine. And so I did what I wanted to do and what I needed to get done. And when he came home, it was very hard to figure out how to fit. What am I going to get done? When am I going to be able to do what I need to do? And but now it takes a while to figure that out. But I've mostly have seen, wouldn't you agree, James, mostly have seen that people have been blessed by having their spouse at home, and having them home more with the children. And
I think, but I think most of the people that I have visited with was not near as many as she has. But I think everyone, I was trying to think right here who all I've spoke with, but I want to say every one of them, at first, the wives were like, "He needs to go back to work. He's home too much, and he's you know." And so at first there was that, like you said, getting used to it. It's a difference, you know what I mean? So when you're gone, like I said, when you're gone half the time, because when you're gone half the time, like I said, she lives a separate life. You know, she's almost to the point of a single mom, or you know, when we had the kids at home, she's single, but she's not. But you know what I mean? It's just a total different deal. And so, for me, it wasn't ever that much different, because when you're at work, you're just at work. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you do your work, and when you come home, home's always the same for me. Whereas when you're at work, you're just at work. But for her, it was all home. So home was different. She had two sets of homes.
She had a home invader.
Yeah, she had a home and a home invader. And so, but most of the people that I have spoke with, every one of them had the same thing. It started off really stressful that, about the first week or so, it was nice, and then after that, it got real stressful and tension. Okay, something is being, he's doing too much and this and this. And then it come around after some time, they got more used to it, and it ended up being, sure, daddy's home all the time.
Yeah.
So it was most, I think for the most part, and you see reports about that, the corona stuff, the virus, that people were quarantined, that they all fought in the beginning, and then they really, you know what? They brought families together.
Yeah.
Kind of a brought
forced
back.
To.
Yeah, they were forced to it, but it brought dads home that was gone a lot, worked all the time and stuff. They could work from home and stuff, moms both. But I've seen so much of this where it brought families back together and brought back the family dinner time, the family supper or whatever, that people had gotten away from. They're so busy that they ate out or whatever, and they just, you know, kids didn't know what to do, not having pizza 4 or 5 nights a week, and mom cooked dinner and all this. So it was, I think it's been a good thing that we've gotten to do that, and a bad search, you know, we'll say, I think it's what the enemy for evil, God will turn for good. That's why I think our families have strengthened somewhat through this whole deal. But,
well, you know, I gotta go back and touch on this. When the guy, you know, the women wanting the guys to go back to work. Well, you know, when the guy comes home, the husband comes home, or whoever the spouse was that working, sometimes it's opposite. The woman works and the guy stays home. There's more cooking to do. There's more laundry to do. Guess what? The house gets dirty more. And so it makes it, there's more to do. There's more to do when they're at home. And it's like, oh my goodness, is this ever going to end? It's a constant thing. And I know that's just stuff. That's just stuff. And you have to work those things out, too, is how work together as a family, and how can we get these things done together instead of it all being responsibility of one of them, but working together to get it done. And that's one of the things I've really, really enjoyed about James, is he's stepped up and he cooks. He helps cook. He has his days. We don't have specific, but, you know, we take turns cooking. We take turns doing the dishes. He's always helping around and doing those things. And if he wasn't willing to do that, that would be very hard on me, because I would feel like that was a heavy thing in the home to try to keep up with everything, plus two turtle doves and the other things that I do. So that's, I think, why women are like, oh, you gotta have to go back to work, because you gotta help them. You're gonna have to help mm-hmm. them. There's a lot to do when everybody's there.
Well, I noticed on the news feed that they were talking about, you know, the unemployment thing kind of coming to an end, and people aren't wanting to go back to work. They're liking what they're doing. And then the other thing is they were trying to force people back to office. Their offices, they've been working at home, and they were having a lot of pushback on that. People were enjoying not going to the office. And I can see that.
Oh, I can too.
I mean, you know, you gotta, if you go to an office, you've gotta dress a certain way. That's a big deal. And if you work at home, you don't have to be as into that sort of thing mm-hmm. as much. So, yeah.
That's right. Especially women, you know, we have to fix our hair and put our makeup on.
Yeah.
Do all that stuff. So.
It costs more for women just for that right there, I think. And people don't realize how much more, you know what I mean? You could pay a guy $10 an hour and pay a woman $10 an hour, and the guy's going to have more money at the end of the check because it took her more.
Yeah.
Not that it took her more. She spent more to earn that same money, you know.
Yeah.
Just for that reason right there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's funny. It makes me think about the message today about being high maintenance. I am not high maintenance.
Well, that's a definition. Who's the idea of what's high maintenance?
That's exactly right. Everybody has their own idea of what's high maintenance.
Mine's not scarves.
Mine isn't either. Mine isn't either.
So, yeah, I can think of a lot of things that I consider to be high maintenance that would go beyond that quite quickly. I'm just glad my wife is not high maintenance. In fact, I hate to say this, but it's right the opposite. You know, I said something one time, and somebody said something about their wife spending money, and I said, you know, Annette's not that way. I said she is really right the opposite. But I said, she spends all the money she wants to spend. Mm-hmm. And she does. I don't ever, she goes to town, I don't care if she goes spends whatever. That's fine with me. Mm-hmm. But she's not going to do it. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you, she's not going to do it. She'll go and she'll come home and she'll go, oh man, I saw this beautiful top today. Yeah. I've kicked myself all the way home for not buying that. And then she'll go back. She'll think about it, and she'll go back. It's gone. Somebody else has already bought it.
Yeah, you got to snatch that stuff up whenever you see it.
But that's just the way she is, you know, and she's very frugal about things. And I'm kind of right the opposite. I'm going to spend some money, so... I try to make it, but I'm going to spend it too. But she's going, yeah, I just saw where you did a transaction on farm credit. I said, really? How did you know that? It comes right to my phone right when I do, whenever you do anything.
That's funny that you say that. I've set up our checking account, and I've set up text notifications and things like that here recently. Well, for some reason, it'll tell me every time James uses it, but it won't say when I use it, but it just says when his card is being run. I'm like, oh, so you went and did this and that, huh? Just as a teasing, joking, but.
Yeah, well, are you related to my wife?
She was working in town one day, and I had stopped in at I think Thriftway getting groceries or something. I don't remember. Anyway, I just walked outside and I get a text. Oh, so you're in town? I'm like, I thought you was working. Where you see me at? She says, oh, my phone told me when you're in town. I got my ways. I'm like, oh, that app on the dang banking deal.
I don't even know how I did that, but that's kind of a neat thing. Not that I care. I mean,
But if someone else is getting your card and using it, you know what I mean? You're going to get the same deal. So unfortunately something you have to worry about.
Yeah.
And that brings you to a whole nother realm of marriage and money. If you can be comfortable in your marriage and knowing, like James can spend, like you are with Annette, I am with James, and you know what? He can spend the money no matter what, and I don't care. It's just, we'll figure it out. I trust him. I know him well enough that he's going to make it work, and so that's another way of, you know, that commitment in your marriage is knowing that relationship with your spouse. And hopefully he has that same with me.
Yeah.
But
yeah, you know that's a big thing, because I've known people in marriages that the spouse would go and just buy a boat or buy a Jeep or, you know, just do something crazy like that, and or a four-wheeler or whatever. And, you know, there was no trust there at all when it came to finances. And it's a blessing to me to have a wife that trusts me and I can trust her, you know. But that'd be kind of miserable if it was the other way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know a guy that his wife didn't pay the bills, and she would take the money to the casino and gamble it away. Well, he didn't know she was doing all the bills. And so, as far as he knew, all the bills were getting paid, you know. And she had changed the address on a bunch of them, and she had got a different P.O. box that he didn't know nothing about. And so she had got all this financial stuff, like credit cards and stuff, and they were had made payments on stuff, and you know, he didn't have a clue, you know.
Yeah.
But he had so much, they'd been married for 20 some years, so you know, he just had enough faith in her that she was going to do what needed to be done, was, you know, and that got them in some serious financial trouble, which they ended up divorcing. You know, that wasn't all there was to it, but that was a lot of it.
Yeah.
And me, I could see that side of it. You know what I mean? If you had someone that would do all that, which to me that was a bunch, you know, lying and the money and the whole thing, someone that would do that much, how could you ever trust them again? And so, like you said, the infidelity part of it, man, if I can't trust you with the, you know, but it was just one of those things, that's something that's so hard to come back from, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's a reason for divorce, but to me, that's just, it would be just as much of a reason for divorce as there is in any, you know what I mean? It's cheating or whatever. But
yeah.
Isn't that same man, I think, that you're talking about, was sitting in his living room and they had come to repossess his truck. And he's like, hey, what's going on? My truck is paid for. He thought it was paid off, didn't he?
Yeah, he thought his pickup was paid for. What it was, he called me and said, hey, he bought this truck brand new, first brand new vehicle he'd ever bought. And he called me the day he paid it off. I just made my last payment on my truck. It's paid for. I finally got it paid for, you know, like 6 years later, whatever, five, whatever it was. Anyway, 6 months later, they come to get it because there hadn't been a payment made on it in a year.
Yeah.
So he still owed 6 months, you know, but payments is all he owed, but there hadn't been a payment made in a year. And he thought it was paid off. And so, anyway, he was highly upset. Somehow he did talk him into letting him keep the truck, and then he went out and got it paid off. But
he paid it off twice.
Yeah. I got it paid off for real now.
Yeah. I took care of it myself.
But to me, that's just, you know what I mean. That's just betrayal.
That is a deep betrayal.
Deep betrayal. And like I say, it's not always has to be infidelity in the sexual side of it or whatever. There's other ways, you know, to betray someone that's just almost, you know what I mean, it's just bad. So.
Well, and it makes me think of that scripture that says that he that is faithful with little will be faithful with much. And to me, taking care of your family and paying your bills, that is little. I mean, It's big, but it's little. And if you're willing to not be faithful in that area, what else? What else is is not jiving right?
That was what I was sitting here thinking. What triggered all that? Yeah. It was something that after those years, there was something that triggered that in her.
And like I said, on that hope, supposedly, you know, she was bipolar or something, you know, some kind of a mental whatever that would kind of, I don't really know, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That got the rules, but she had a rough childhood, you know what I mean? As almost most women, her, now my wife's age, all those girls, I don't, you know, I was like, man, her men was just, I don't know what that during those years, you know what I mean? But so she had that and she'd never dealt with it. And never really give it to the Lord and let him take it. You know what I mean? She never had that. And so I know there's a ton of women that are like that. They carry that around and they carry the shame and they carry this. And well, finally, I think she just kind of snapped or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But she had gone to after kind of a bunch of this had happened, she started going to a counselor, psychiatrist, whatever it was. And he said she's really starting to get better. She's opening up, kind of talking about it. Mm-hmm. And it's getting better. Well, then she quit going. And so, and then it all kind of just went crazy. So, but I think that's probably what, once you bury that stuff for so long, you know what I mean? Then you kind of dig it back up and then all of a sudden you get it just enough to get to the surface and then you, you know, you turn it loose and it just, people can't, they can't carry, we can't carry our burdens, you know?
Yeah.
That's why we have to give them, let him carry them. So, and that just, so many people don't do that. And that's, I think that's why we have a lot of stuff where we are, you know, in our world, just people trying to do it themselves, and we can't, not made to.
And that kind of brings me to the second part of, I told you what Two-Soul Doves is doing is these luncheons, is I think a lot of times when we're dealing with things in life, we don't realize it's from something, or it needs to be addressed, or it needs to be talked about, or they think it's not really affecting them, but everybody else around them can tell. And it's bringing about an awareness, you know, if there's something going on in your life, it looks like this. Or if, you know, if you see this, it could be possibly that. And it's not because we're trying to say, oh, there's something wrong with you, but it's trying to say, hey, look, let's look at it and let's see what does the word say about it, and how can we help you get past that so that's not an area where you're struggling in your life. Because when you deal with those issues of the heart individually, that too will help strengthen that marriage, because you begin to see yourself differently and you begin to see your spouse differently. Mm. And that brings about a different connection in your home as well. And so I think that's probably what happened with her, is she needed somebody to help her. And she just wasn't, maybe she wasn't looking, I don't know. She wasn't aware, and things just happened from there. And unfortunately, it ended like it did.
Yeah.
So.
Well, two turtle doves. If you need, if your marriage needs to be strengthened, here we go.
Yeah, marriage maintenance. Yeah. Marriage maintenance.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to kick off September with probably burgers or something, some kind of little cookout and have a little fun.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of what it is. It's kind of a date night. And we have, you know, a few of them that's their date night. We get our one, you know, we get that one away with either kids, and we go, and it just to have some fun with your spouse and also talk and see that, you know, because sometimes we get in that attitude that, man, my wife's the only one that does this. Why does my wife do this? I don't. So-and-so's wife don't do that.
Yeah,
right. And you get into that whole seeing that other people deal with other stuff, whether it's the same stuff or different stuff, but we all have stuff. It kind of helps you feel, you know, because sometimes you get into church and you think, oh, man, if we're Christians, we're saved, we shouldn't have no trouble. You know,
we shouldn't have stuff, but even at 50 years marriage, you have stuff. I mean, I would think.
No,
even here.
I'm just talking.
What?
Yeah.
Hearing, yeah.
And so that's where the maintenance part comes in, is bringing that up. Hey, let's talk about this. We got to figure this out and tweak it a little bit, like you would. You know, we always compare it to changing your oil in your vehicle. There's nothing, anything's wrong with your vehicle, but in order to keep your car in good working order, you change the oil within so many miles so that you can have the longevity of your engine. Rotate your tires, get more use out of your tires, and nothing's wrong with them. Just trying to keep things going in good working order, and that's what marriage maintenance is.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like fun and games to me. So we've got a few minutes left. Let's change the subject just a little bit. There's let's talk about COVID for a minute, and I just feel like we need to kind of encourage people out there. This thing's kind of starting up again. Everybody kind of thought it was over with, and it's coming back, and so there's probably a little discouragement in that to a lot of people, and so I'd just like for us to encourage people in the Lord here for a few minutes that, hey, He's taken care of this already. And it's still out there, but as a Christian, what's our viewpoint? How do we cope with this? And, you know, before when it was going on, the 91st Psalm became very real in my life, and it always has been an important part of my life, but, you know, I kind of started speaking the word and meditating on the word and kind of in opposite order of what I said. I started meditating and then I started speaking. And the Bible says very plainly that no plague shall come nigh your dwelling.
That's right.
And my dwelling is my body. It's where my spirit man resides. It's where the Holy Spirit resides. And so my body is a sacred thing. And so I have authority in the area of my body. And that authority comes through the Word of God. And so when I say 1,000 shall fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it won't come nigh me, I'm taking hold of God's word. I'm getting hold of something that's bigger, more powerful than what a virus is. And so for our listeners out there, I just encourage you to find some scriptures. Find something. Y'all were telling me y'all went over and ministered to a woman that had ended up. She has COVID, right?
Yes, that's correct.
And y'all did communion with her, and I don't know what else she did, but you know, that's something that people can do on their own.
That's right.
Or they can call for the elders of the church. The Bible says if there's any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And that word save there means healed. Shall heal the sick. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. So you can call for the elders of the church, and just like what y'all did, you went to that lady. You really didn't go in your own authority. You went in as elders of the church. So if you know, if our listeners know somebody that's an elder in the church, they can call for prayer from them. So,
that's right.
There's God's put some things in the word for us to take hold of to overcome sickness and disease. And so I just encourage you to get in the word, stay in it, get your focus where it needs to be, to get your focus off of what everybody's saying about COVID. Get your focus off that and get your focus on God. And that 91st Psalm ends up by saying, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. So I just stand on that and encourage y'all to stand on that, and I encourage our listeners to stand on that. So I felt like we need to kind of touch on that.
You know, the scripture that comes to mind is, I agree, is as Christians, we stand on the Word. That's where our confidence is, in the Word. We don't live by the world system, but we live by the system of God, the heavenly system. And but what do we have to do in order to, how do we stand on that Word, and how do we know, is we have to get in the Word. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so in order to stand and not walk in fear and not be afraid, but also to take a hold of that scripture and walk in faith, is like what you're saying, is we're going to dig into the Word. We're going to find that scripture. We're going to find what God says about that thing. And we say, I choose to believe this because this is what God's Word says. And His Word has utmost authority over anything else. Mm-hmm. And so just encourage them in that way, you know, that if you are feeling afraid and you are feeling like it's hopeless right now, or if we ever going to get over this, well, get into the Word, see what the Word says, and change, and allow that to work into your thoughts instead of what they're hearing around. And you touched on that already, is we have to see what the Word says versus what everything is being said to us around us, because it will cause fear.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, James and I were talking a while ago, and you were too, but we kind of were talking back and forth a little bit. And the thing that Jesus said most was fear not. And he said, here's the one that's coming to my mind right now. Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. And so if he's given us the kingdom, which he has, what's in that kingdom? And you know, Jesus came preaching, teaching, and healing. And he was presenting the kingdom of God. He was saying, here's what the kingdom of God looks like. And so that kingdom is still here. It's still, it's still actually within us. But we release it out of us. And that kingdom is full of healing. And so when we start understanding, don't be afraid. Because it's the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom.
That's right.
So, you know, the scripture is just full of references, and you know, if you're struggling with knowing what the scripture says, you just need to sit down with it and ask God to reveal it to you.
And he will be faithful to do that too.
Yes.
If you ask.
Yeah. And, you know, some of the most blessed times that you can have is just do that. Sit down and ask him to show you. And I want to tell you, confidence, peace, all these good things will start happening in your life. And that fear will leave just like that. Just kind of like,
that's right.
So I want to kind of touch on that, because I know this is a time when there's opportunity there for people to be fearful, be afraid, be so fearful that of death. You know,
and before this COVID ever really started, like the beginning of last year, you know, God had said something to me, and basically it was just as simple as, do you believe what my word says or not? Mm-hmm. Do you, because it was a whole deal, and I talked about it, a men's deal, was who do you say I am, talking about that. And God said, well, do you believe my word? Do you believe what I say or not? Mm-hmm. And then, you just kind of weird. Just, what do you mean, do I believe it or not? You know, yeah, I kind of believe it, you know. But if you don't get in it and read it and know what it says, you're not going, you know, that's the first thing we have to do, is know what it says. Yeah. And then we have to really believe that. Mm-hmm. And as this whole thing come out last year, you know, as the whole thing started going, I could just see it just come in front of me what he meant, you know. Yeah. this year, you're going to have to believe either, you're either going to believe the world and what they say, or you're going to have to believe my word and what, either you believe that you're going to die because someone's coughing around you, or you're going to believe that my stripes healed you. Yeah. You know, you're going to have to believe what I said. You have to believe my word. And that's been so, so powerful to me through this whole deal, because I haven't had fear over the whole thing since it started.
Yeah.
For that, he told me beforehand, and when he said it, I didn't have a clue what he really meant. Was, you know what I mean? I feel like the disciples when he said, "Who am I? Who y'all say? You know, who do you say I am?" And I was just like, "Well, yeah, I believe you." You know, but you don't know what the meaning of that. You know what I mean? Was
we need the cam on that one, Jim. That was good.
So, but I think that's our key. You know, we have the choice to believe. We get to choose life or death, and it's in the power of our tongue. And I think that's the big thing is our words, what we say, what we speak. If it doesn't line up, and I don't know if I have time, but God had showed me this. I don't remember really in a dream or kind of a vision. I had seen this though, in my mind how it was. But our words speaking, okay, I'm healed. I'm healed. I don't have sickness and disease. And you speak that, and we start getting some symptoms, you know. And I pictured it as it was actually like hay grazer is in my mind is what I had seen growing. As those words, speaking life and speaking, you know, blessing, was like a field of hay grazer, and it was growing, but it wasn't ready to harvest yet. You know what I mean? But it was growing, and it got up her, you know, foot. 2 foot high. And then when you would speak negative about that, it was like you come home with a brush hog and just mowed it back down to nothing. You didn't kill it, but you had to start over. And so I repent, and you start speaking it again. So when the symptoms come, like the stupid cough that's trying to come over right now.
That's what I was just thinking.
This cough. But anyway, when you start seeing some stuff, people start saying the wrong things. And Zodiac touched on that this morning. You start saying the wrong thing, you just brush hogged your harvest. You know what I mean? And you got to start over, and you got to get back right, and you got to keep saying, no matter what, you know, you have to believe what he says is true and stand on it and keep saying it until it's ready to cut and bale or whatever, you know, until it's ready to harvest.
Yeah, you know, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Mm-hmm. So you're going to speak what's in your heart. Right. And that's why it's so important to get the Word of God in there, because you're messing with your believing. The believing's where it all starts. And then you begin to speak those words out, and there's power associated with that, because it's a release of the Word of God. And so many people get that so skewed, you know, they say, well, you're one of those name it or claim it people, but no, you're just speaking the word out. You're just saying what the word of God says. And listen, that is the release of the kingdom. Out of the belly shall flow rivers of living water. And so if you're not full of living water, out of the belly flows dead water. And that's what we hear so much coming from. We're hearing death, we're hearing failure, we're hearing all these things. But when we start letting our heart believe and then speak, man, it's powerful. We're out of time. Can you believe that?
I can. This has been a quick night.
It has. I enjoyed it.
Me too.
James and Natalie Thomas have been our guests, folks. We'll be back with the next week with another program called Sunday Night Live. Good night, all.
Good night, everybody.